Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
And welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Happy Wednesday, everyone, and happy springtime. I'm not actually sure if it's officially spring, but because I didn't look at the calendar or anything. But I'm, like, pretty sure, right?
Okay, well, now we're going to look at the calendar.
Listen, I'm pretty sure that spring has sprung.
I think spring has not sprung.
No?
I thought it was soon. I thought it was on the 21st, and now...
The equinox.
You know, when will spring? We don't know. Spring 2024. March 19th. So we are springing currently.
Okay, see.
You're listening when the day it drops.
I just had a feeling. I really just had a feeling that spring had sprung, and it did. Yeah. So there we go.
Yeah, I can. My nose can feel that spring is springing right now.
Oh, I know.
I can tell you that in my voice. And everything about me, my whole personality is just sickness and illness.
Yeah, I'm feeling it too. The allergies season.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody is, you know.
Yeah, but honestly, it's fine because the sun is out and the sun has cured my depression. So,
I agree.
So, I mean, honestly, we're better off. I think we're better off.
No, we're better off. Plus, our bodies will acclimate to the pollen here soon.
Exactly.
And, yeah, like, I had to work an hour late today, and I still got off with sun to spare. So,
see?
Yep. That was hype. I was, like, depressed about working late this week. don't you hate when you have to work late on days for, like, things that are not fun, such as I have to get a crown on Thursday. And so now I have to, like, take half of an entire day off of work and, like, make up the hours because I don't want to use my PTO to get a stupid crown. Because also I have to use my PTO for something fun that I'm doing next week that I just found out today.
What is it?
I'm going to see Fall Out Boy. By the time you're listening to this, I will have seen Fall Out Boy. I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh.
It's my first concert of 2024. And if anybody knows me, you know that I love concerts more than anything in my whole life. I love concerts. And so this is the first one of 2024, and I am so excited.
I need to get some concerts planned. I don't have any. That's a lie. I do actually have at least one planned.
That's good. Yeah, so. I have. Currently, in my inbox, I have 4 regular concerts and 1 music festival lined up.
Yeah. So you always just have all of them lined up.
I'm telling you, it's the only thing keeping me going is concerts. It's my thing. It is what it is.
You know what I wish? I wish Warped was still happening. Oh,
God, me too. What I would give to go to Warped again. Oh, if you don't know, me and Savannah went to the last Warped together. It was so fun, but also sad because it was the last one.
I know.
And you know what? I was a little shocked that Fall Out Boy wasn't at that Warped, but I'm going to see him. I have already actually seen Fall Out Boy once before, but they're one of my favorite bands, so I'm excited. I've been singing their songs all day.
Do you know who's opening?
Yeah, dude, it's Jimmy Eat World. And I think somebody else. I cannot wait.
I would be more excited for that.
Dude, I'm excited.
To be totally honest.
Honestly, no. First of all, you're crazy. But
I love them.
I love both. I'm so my inner, like, early 2000 child self is screaming so hard at what I'm about to experience. I'm just so excited. I can't. Like, it's giving One Tree Hill vibes. If you've ever seen One Tree Hill.
Why One Tree Hill? Do they play a lot of Fall Out Boy?
Baby, you ain't never seen One Tree Hill?
No. I think we've went over this.
I know. Okay, well, this is not really a spoiler, but it's a little bit of a spoiler. Fall Out Boy is in the show.
Oh, well.
Yeah. They play a part as themselves in the show. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. But, yeah, I love the era. Love the vibes. But before we get started, And moving along, I guess, from Fall Out Boy, even though I could talk about them forever. Hold on. Pause. I have to give my predictions because I did, when I went and saw, they always, if you don't know who Fall Out Boy is, they're like crazy. And they always wear really interesting, unique clothing, especially on tour and when they're performing. So when I saw them last time, they came out as these like creatures. I don't know how else to describe it. If you just like Google Fall Out Boy like creature, it would probably come up. Okay. I don't know how to describe it. So, and then like they recently had a performance on some like award show that just happened where they were like wearing regular suits, but they had like box shoulder pads, like where they look like Lego men. So I'm just like, what are they going to do now?
Interesting.
You know, like what's my prediction of what's going to happen? I don't know. Something crazy, I presume, is going to be worn by them. So updates next week on what they wore.
So you don't have anything specific to guess? Honestly, I feel like you could throw anything out there and that's what like, okay. It could be true.
So the tour is like on based on their new album, right? So Much for Stardust. And the cover of that is a dog. So I'm going to guess that they're going to come out as dogs.
Okay.
That's my guess.
So that's a good guess.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah. You know, not too bad of one. So that's my guess. But moving on from Fall Out Boy, we will continue this conversation next week. But I just wanted to mention and see if anybody else agrees. I know you agree, Savannah, but on just how fun it is to go get a little treat and go shopping.
Oh my God, yes. That was us the other day.
It was unbelievably us. We went and got some bubble tea, some boba. Love that.
And then we each spent like $200.
And then we went into so many stores and just did some serious damage. But yeah, honestly, the serotonin levels that were in my brain.
Right. And I'm still experiencing it because same, I look at what I got and I'm like, ooh.
I just put on this like lipstick stuff that I got. And I'm like, see, this is why I got it, because it makes my everyday so much better.
Exactly.
I love it. And this is not sponsored, but I must say that Summer Fridays has a spectacular lip balm. If anybody needs a lip balm. And also, if Summer Fridays wants to hit me up and do a collab, I would love that.
I should have gotten one, honestly.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that was the last one. That's what she said.
Well, okay. So
you could have gotten one anyway. There's at least that. But yeah, I need more flavors. So we'll be doing that. But anyway, I guess that's all for intro topics. Go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please. But if you want to go ahead and get into your story, Savannah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. Yeah, let's get on into it. This week, I found this story that I guess I'm going to categorize as like a mystery. And there's like some legend behind it.
Okay.
It is the Plain of Jars.
The Plain of Jars.
Yes. The Plain of Jars.
Plain. Spell plain.
P-L-A-I-N.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. I'm very intrigued.
What do you picture when I say that?
I picture like a sandy desert with a bunch of jars all over the sand, like completely covering the sand, and they're like very sandy. That's what I picture.
Interesting that you say sand. It is not sand.
Yeah, I don't know why I picture it like
that. It is like more of like a grassy, like a field. You know, a big open field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With jars in it.
Interesting.
But these jars are not just like everyday, like modern glass jars or anything.
Oh, yeah. They are like made mason jars.
Yeah. Yeah. They are actually huge. Oh. They're big. They're really big. And they are made of stone.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I was not expecting that.
Yeah. So these, this site is one of the most important prehistoric sites in Southeast Asia. So there are like thousands of stone jars from the Iron Age in this area. And they vary in height and diameter between like 1 and 3 meters in diameter. And they're like, I've seen pictures of people standing next to them. They're like, they could probably be like 6 feet tall. Like they're big.
Wow. That's crazy.
There's some that are smaller. Like they vary in size, but yeah, they're pretty big. But just imagine like a jar, like, I don't know how else to describe it other than that. But it's like, I guess I should have pulled up a picture to send you. I can
look it up. But,
So they're like cylindrical with the bottom always wider than the top. And they're actually undecorated. So just basic stone. With the exception of one of them, one of the jars at one, at site one, because I guess they numbered the sites since it's such a big area that has these jars. Mm-hmm. Only one of them is like decorated at all. And it has a human frog man carved on the exterior.
So. Amazing. Okay, I'm looking at the plane of jars. I'm very confused. They look crazy. This is not at all what I was picturing.
Yeah.
And that's very interesting.
I know. I
need to find the main one with the frog man.
Yeah, I actually didn't even... I forgot to look that up to see if I could find it. So hopefully you can find it.
I did. Okay. It's really hard to see because like the stone is worn down. But I see it.
Yeah. So these jars, they also have like a rim around the top, so it's thought that the jars have lids, but only a few of them like still have the lids. So this shows that most of them were made from material that was like perishable. So they didn't last as long as the jar themselves. So that's just something to note, I guess. Some are standing, here I have the height of them. Some are standing close to 10 feet tall.
Wow, okay, that's crazy. The so ones that I saw looked to be, like, maybe 3 to 4 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah, so they really vary. Like, some can be, like, 10 feet tall, and then some are, yeah, that's smaller. Crazy. But they're big. And they weigh, like, several tons, because it's made of stone. So, they're heavy. And they cover the mountainous landscape of northern Laos. And they're carved from, like, sandstone, mostly. And a few other types of stone, but mostly sandstone. And they're found in groups from just one by itself up to four, like, a group of 400. So.
Oh, wow.
They're just, yeah. So, archaeologists... Actually, before I tell you what they think they were used for, what do you think they were used for?
Okay, so I didn't actually have any idea until I saw the picture, but my guess is gonna be, I don't know how in which way this could even be possible, but like a burial ground what it maybe looks like.
You are correct.
That's crazy. How is that possible?
Yeah.
Don't tell me so, that either.
Well, oh let me tell you. So archaeologists believe that they served as funerary urns.
Okay. Got it.
So researcher, French researcher Madeleine Colani, she concluded this in 1930. that they were used as urns, and excavation by Lao and Japanese archaeologists have supported this interpretation with, like, the discovery of, they discovered human remains in the area, burial goods. So, like, people, you know, when they're buried, they just buried, like, some items with them.
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, different ceramics around the jars.
Ooh.
So, like, smaller versions of the jars, I guess, and, like, you know, ceramic things that you would actually use and not just these huge jars. But and also inside the jars, embedded in, like, the soil, there was found soil-colored glass beads. Not soil-colored, just colored glass beads. Burned... You're not going to like this. Burned teeth.
Burned teeth.
Yeah, and bone fragments. And sometimes more than one individual was found in the same
urn. I was wondering if you were going to say that. How do you burn teeth? You can't, right?
Well, I'm going to... Let me just keep going.
Okay.
So, research dates some of them to as early as 1240 BC, so they're really old.
Wow.
And they also, like, researchers also found a cave in the area of one of these sites, a cave that had a man-made holes in the top, and they are thought to be chimneys for... a crematorium.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that answers my question.
Yeah, that kind of answers your question. And honestly, when I read that, I was like, wait, they had cremation back then?
That's what I was, I mean, when you said urn, I was like, okay, they have to be on fire, but how?
I know,
and the cave makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
They were smart back then.
I know, like, cremation, I guess, is, like, way, way, way older than I thought it was.
Yeah, definitely. That's
and
for sure.
I guess, you know, like, the modern version of cremation is very, very different from what they did, you know? So that's why we're thinking that it wasn't even around. But
true. Plus, I feel like we picture, like, in this big industrial machine
cremation
thing. And obviously, they weren't going to have that back then.
Yeah, yeah. But they did have their own way. There is, like, so one theory is that they were, like, cremated and then put into these urns or whatever. But then another theory goes with, like, known practices of the area that are, like, still sort of, they're still practiced by some people, that the bodies were put in the urns to see some of these words. I'm warning you already. So,
okay,
the bodies were put into the urns to decompose, and then later the bones were taken out and then cremated,
okay,
and then put back.
That makes sense
for, like, a second
burial. It would take a lot less time,
yeah,
you know, it would just save time to let them decompose. That's crazy though.
Yeah. And then this is actually a similar practice that is done today with, like, royalty in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it was royalty back then or, like, everybody.
Yeah.
But in today's day, like, that's what they do with, like, their royalty. And then, like, common people, quote unquote, are just buried.
Interesting.
But
that's very interesting.
Yeah. So it's like, so that's what they think that this area was probably used for. But, like, some of it just doesn't add up fully. So I'm going to go into a little bit. It was determined that these urns, like, these jars, they were transported from their current location in at least one of the spots. They were transported from a quarry that was 8 kilometers away.
That's a long time.
And they're They're like tons. They weigh so much.
I mean, some of them are 10 feet tall.
Yes, exactly. And also, it's like they seem to be made from chisels. So, like, they were, like, chiseled out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And not all of the jars have remains in them. And so, like, they could have been there before they were used as a gravesite.
Okay.
So, like, so that means, like, what were they used for then? Like, why were they there in the first place?
That's a really good question. Or, like, I don't know. I was just wondering, like, if a family, like, I don't know, say, like, a bunch of family members had died, right? And then suddenly they came upon some money, and they, like, wanted their family to be represented in this, like, little burial site, so they got a stone, but nobody was buried there.
Maybe. I see what you're saying. Like, some of them were, like, getting ready to put somebody there, but, like, they never got to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
But I feel like that can't be the case for all of them.
I know. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I do kind of like the idea that, like, oh, like, they were there beforehand, and they, like, the people who used them as a burial ground didn't even know what they were for.
Right.
And it's like,
like, what if they were toilets? It's
a big mystery. Because
they also kind of look like a toilet.
Toilets.
That was really, I'm so serious, going to be my second guess. But I just, I mean, knew you weren't going to talk about toilets.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're kind of like, they kind of look like a toilet, a little bit.
I mean,
you know? At least the picture that I saw, like,
I guess so.
You know, a rounded, like,
I could see
stone
it.
With, like, a little smaller circular. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them have, like, huge circles. So, like, obviously not those. But, like, the smaller ones.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what my guess would be, honestly.
No. I'm not saying that I think that it's toilets. I'm just like, it could be anything, you know?
But yeah, that's like, that is a guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, local legends say that the stone jars were actually made by giants. And the giants used the jars to brew rice water, not rice water, rice beer or wine to celebrate a victory in a war.
Interesting.
So they were just like storage for their liquor, their alcohol.
I mean, that could make sense if giants existed.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah. Another legend says that these jars were molded from like natural materials, included clay, sand, sugar, in a stone mix. But like, and, like, the locals, they believe that the cave was, like, a kiln where the jars were fired and created. But research shows that they were carved and not molded. So, that theory is kind of thrown out. But
yeah, I think they definitely look carved instead of molded,
too. Yeah, yeah. So, these jars, like, I keep saying, like, the different sites because, like,
They cover everywhere.
Yes, they cover a big area. Like, they can be found from Laos to northern India.
That's crazy. That's and it's so
like,
many.
And it's like a path.
Oh.
Too.
Interesting. Yeah.
So that even adds more of a mystery to it. It's like, why is there so many? And why is there a path?
Yeah, why is it a path?
Like, I don't know. And so, one theory, because of this factor, one theory says that they could have been used as water bottles.
Okay, I was so thinking that too, like a big cup, but I'm like, how could they transport that?
Yeah, well, see, that's why there's so many of them is what the theory says, that there's so many of them. So like, as you're traveling, you can just like scoop water from each one or whatever. And it's like rainwater would collect in them and the people traveling could have access to water. But I mean, then it's like stagnant water, so I don't know.
I was gonna say, but like, did they know any better back then in the BC?
I don't know.
In the 1200 or whatever you said.
I mean, and also if it rains like every day, maybe it's fine.
True.
I don't know.
But I feel like it doesn't rain every day.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking that too, like maybe water. I don't know. That's, I feel like that could be a good, if they didn't know any better about stagnant water, mm-hmm. that's a really good theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know if they knew.
Mm-hmm. So this like field, like a whole area basically, it's not researched very much, honestly. Like, we do have some research, like all the stuff that I was saying before, but there's something that's holding researchers back from going there. It's actually really dangerous.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we have our country to thank for that.
Oh, good. Great. That's so shocking.
So, during the Vietnam War, around that time, the U.S., dropped a bunch of bombs there, basically. Yeah, I already knew you were gonna say that. And they haven't exploded. So, there's, like, a bunch of unexploded munitions in the field of jars. In the plane of jars.
Yeah.
So this area, it can't be safely studied. There are certain areas that have been cleared, that people have been like, okay, there's no bombs here, like, you can go visit this part. But that's why there's not that much research that has gone into this, because they can't go through all of it because there's bombs. So it is actually also known as the, like, most dangerous archaeological site. So
why am I so willing to take one for the team to go out there? Like, I honestly feel like this might be naive of me, but like, if the bombs haven't already gone off, are they going to go off? I don't know. Well, I'm not a bomb technician. I did watch Oppenheimer, but that's it.
Isn't it like, if,
like, what are we talking? Are we talking like an atomic bomb? No, or like a grenade,
like maybe something like that, like a bomb, like, I don't know.
Okay, like a pipe bomb. Like, there's so many bombs.
I don't know how crazy it is, but just, or like
is it giving like Hunger Games, like you step on the one thing and like explode?
Oh yeah, no, definitely it's like that. Yeah,
okay. I'm honestly still willing to risk it. Like, if I personally was an archaeologist, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
listen.
Yeah.
I need to know. I feel like we need to know what mm-hmm. they are for my personal gain.
I know. Like, I don't know if you, like, I guess if they found more evidence of, like, other things, they could put some two and two together and be like, okay, this is what they were used for. So, like, they definitely could find out more if they did more research.
But I see. Wait, hold on. It's actually coming to me. I see the issue. Archaeologists have to dig. And to dig the bombs. I see.
Yeah, it's an issue.
I hate us for that. Why did we do that? Now we're probably never going to get the answer. Yeah. Maybe one day, though. I'm going to hold out hope.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is the point of jars.
Can I also just say that the whole time that Christina Perry song Jar of Hearts was playing in my head?
Oh my gosh, Jar of Hearts.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
It is indeed. She also wrote a song for Twilight. Just, you know, had to throw that in there because we always have to mention Twilight in some way.
You know,
shape or form.
You just reminded me, though. I keep getting these TikToks on my For You page that are like, this song reminds me of being in Kohl's in like 2012. And like, that song probably could go on the list.
Oh, it definitely could go on the list. We were in Kohl's the other day. And yeah, I'm like, was that playing in the background? Probably could have been.
Yeah, but we were in the Sephora in Kohl's. So,
yeah, but it's still in Kohl's. A bit cooler.
Yeah. That's like a recent addition, like the past few years, right? The Sephora.
Oh yeah, I've never even gone into a Kohl's that has a Sephora in it before. Mm-hmm. We did the other day, so yeah, well, it has to be new. Crazy, absolutely crazy. Well, I guess moving along to my story. There's no words, so I might as well just get into it. I am covering the legend of the Nochnitsa.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. A little difficult name, honestly. But this legend comes from Russian, Poland, and Slavic folklore. And so the word Nochnitsa literally translates to the night hag.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So that's not a great sign, you know.
I was going to say that's me, but I don't stay up late, so.
Yeah, if anything, it's me. Because I definitely stay up late. But in fact, let me tell you right now, this is not me. Nor do I. Okay. I never want it to be me.
Okay. yeah, I figured that was the case. But, you know, before I know anything about it, I like to, you know.
Yeah, like the night hag sounds like cool that. At first.
Yeah.
But then, we learn some other things, such as, you know, she has some other names as well. Some maybe more fun. You might like them better even than the Nochnitsa or the night hag. She's also known as Krisky or Plaxy.
Interesting.
I don't know why. I tried to look up why. Can't find out why. So, you know.
It's honestly, it's probably something that's lost in translation.
Yeah, right? For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say so. But, anywho, it doesn't really matter, you know, what her name is. This same being is referenced all throughout Russia, Poland, and, like, Slovakia. So, she's very widely known. And she's very widely known to torment children at night. Just what we love to hear.
Of course, yes.
Mm-hmm. She's known to have glowing red eyes and an eerie, screeching voice.
Oh my god.
Amazing. So amazing. And so, what's interesting is her body below the waist is nothing but, like, shadowy mist. Kind of like what you imagine, like, a ghost kind of looking like. But it's not even her legs. It's just, like, her waist down is gone.
Interesting. So
she's just half a body, you know, fun. And what's even more delicious is that it said that she smells strongly of forest, but not in the good way. You know, not a good forest smell, like a bad, wet, dirt, disgusting, damp kind of smell. And that's because she's thought to live deep within the forest when she's not out tormenting children. So that's probably why she smells like that. And so legend even says that her smell is so potent that it can be smelled when a person is dreaming and it will linger in their room even after she leaves, like the smell.
Oh, interesting.
So very, very interesting.
I don't know if I like that. Like, just, okay. So,
oh, no. We don't like this.
In their dreams? Like, I don't know if I've smelled things in my dreams before.
Dude, that's what I was going to say. So we're going to get into it, but this... Okay, so, like, the Nochnitsa is a demonic spirit, okay? And she is kind of literally, like, a sleep paralysis demon or Freddy Krueger, in a way. Because she only attacks in dreams of children. So.
Oh, and you have to be a child.
Yeah, so we're good. We're old. We're
okay.
Hopefully, you know. Hopefully. But, so, apparently, what will happen is, like, the person, this child, whoever she's attacking, will basically have sleep paralysis, and they will think that they're waking up and seeing a woman, like, sitting on their chest, drawing out their life energy. And it's said that she feeds off of a person's sadness and depression. So, like, the more sad, the more depressed, the stronger she gets when she, like, feeds.
Dang.
Which I'm like, don't get a hold of me, honey. She would have max power.
Right. Like, I mean, we're adults, though. So.
I know, but just in general, like, the sadness and the depression part, you know.
So well, we just said our depression has been cured by the sun, though.
Well, yeah, I said most of mine. I did say I had some left.
yeah.
But, yeah, so she only attacks in dreams, which is very scary. Because she's, like, a real sleep paralysis demon most of the time. Like, when you hear, like, oh, that's my sleep paralysis demon in the corner. It's not actually a demon in the corner. But this girl actually is a demon on top of you, sucking your life energy away. like while you're sleeping.
That's scary.
I know, it's so scary. And it's not like there's nothing really you can do in the moment, but there are some things that you can do. So we'll get into that in a minute. I guess we can go ahead and get into it now. There's one way to stop the night hag is, well, not one way. Period, overall, you have to fight back, no matter what that means. So if you are, like, just accepting her presence, like, you're like, oh, okay, this is just, like, a sleep paralysis demon, it will only lead to your death, because she will suck the literal life out of you.
Wait, okay, so she's not just tormenting you, she's literally, like, actively killing you?
Yeah, slowly over time, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, if you really let her do it long enough, yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Dang. Yeah, it's really good, yeah. The more time that she spends feeding off of, like, your negative emotions, the more difficult she is to get rid of. And so we have, if this is sounding kind of familiar to you, I covered a similar creature called the Boo Hag in South Carolina. And that was all the way back in episode 12, if you want to listen to that. But the difference between the two is that the Boo Hag mainly targets adults, and the Night Hag, or the Noctnitsa, targets children. So,
okay.
Honestly, neither one is great, but at least the Boo Hag isn't going after kids, you know?
Yeah. like this legend just seems like a way to make kids be like, happy. Be like, don't be sad, or she's gonna get you.
Also, like, that's not really how that works.
Exactly. Know? Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was also wondering, like, what is the goal in this legend? Like, there's nothing like
it's to make the kids happy.
Yeah, I guess to force them to not be depressed.
And it's like, then you'll just be depressed and maybe faking happiness and then scared.
Yeah, really scared.
Coming at you. Like,
right. And also, like, I wonder how many kids have had a dream about the Noctnitsa, but it actually wasn't her. You know what I'm saying? Like, they dream that it is, but it's not actually her. You know?
Yeah.
What I'm saying by that? Like, yeah, she's not actually attacking, but, like, they're like, she came at me, like, blah, blah, blah. I can just imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine the children at school, you know? But anyway. Back to fighting her off. Let's see here. I lost my spot. Okay, so in Poland, which is one of the three places where this legend, you know, is, it's apparently a common thing to do. Mothers would actually place a knife under their kids' cradles and draw a circle around a child with a knife for protection.
What?
Like, before putting it underneath them. So, like, they can't reach it, but they do have a knife.
Oh, my God.
You know, because that's, like, babies.
Also, how is that going to protect them when, like, they're a baby? They can't pick it up.
Right.
Right?
I mean, well, okay. So.
Or can they? I don't know.
Well, let me get there. Okay, so. First of all, though, can you just imagine, like, going to bed and your mom is like, oh, here's your knife, just in case the night hag comes and gets you? The crazy thing is, I think that they're really serious about this. And that's one thing about, like, as crazy and outlandish as this legend sounds, they really are giving their children knives. So I'm like, do they believe this is real?
I mean, like, the people who give them knives definitely do. Like, but.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of them give them knives, though, so that's interesting. But, yeah. So, let's see. So, it is said, apparently, that the Noctnitsa, as well as most other supernatural beings, cannot touch iron. So, that's their, like, kryptonite, apparently.
Yeah. I've heard that with, like, vampires.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah. Or is it something and, like, else? Werewolves, maybe?
Oh, wait. No, with no, that's them, silver. It's silver.
silver. Yeah, but I think it's like the same concept. And I guess maybe this is more common like for the monsters over there, like near Russia and Poland and stuff like that. But like, yeah, so apparently supernatural beings cannot touch iron. So I guess these knives were made out of iron. So, yeah. So basically these children aren't being given the knives to like stab somebody. It's kind of like a protective charm because it is iron. It'll like keep her away, if that makes sense. And I guess that's probably like the only thing that was made out of iron that they had like on hand.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay.
So it's not as crazy as it first appeared to be.
Yeah.
There's at least that. Now this is what had me shook. Okay. Very, very, very fun fact is that in the book Coraline, which obviously later inspired the movie, Coraline's other mother was actually a Nagnitsa, and she was taking her soul while she was in the other world.
Oh my god.
And if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
A lot of sense.
But like, but do they always like get you to trust them like that? Because she, like, got her to trust her.
Well, I guess there's, like, many different ways you can do it. You can either, like, scare them to death or, like, you know, any way you can, I guess, is the way.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you think about Freddy Krueger, like, he went through, like, your specific greatest fear, like, in your head. So I'm assuming they use, like, different ways in each kid or person that they attack. Mm-hmm. But I was like, that's crazy, like, if you really think about it, like... Now I need to go watch Coraline again.
I know. I haven't seen it in so long.
Really? Like, I watched it, like, over Halloween. But I still love it. But, yeah. Like I said, I kind of came to the conclusion, like, in the research that most people kind of really believe in the Nagnitsa. And at least, like... if not believed in it, at least believed enough in the superstition to put iron in the children's bedrooms, you know, to try to keep her away if she was real. So, you know, I'm just personally glad that the Nagnitsa is not going to come after me since I'm an adult. So,
true. Yeah.
Yeah, but that is the legend of the Nagnitsa.
Wow.
Hated it. Loved it, but I hated it at the same time.
Yeah.
It happens most cases. That was a good one. For me, I'd have to say. Definitely, though, go check out our Instagram because there will be some very scary renderings of the Nagnitsa, I'm sure. Yeah. As well as these glorious jars. Yeah. It's not what you're picturing. I can promise you that. I can promise you that.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't even have to make one up in my head because the first article, like the first thing I read about these jars had a picture.
Yeah, I just really imagine, like, the clear mason jars, like, completely in a desert. But that is so unbelievably far from what it actually is.
Yeah.
It's just funny, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please.
Yes, please.
But I guess that's really all I have for you guys this week. What about you, Savannah?
Yeah, that is it.
Okay, then I guess we will see you guys next week.
Cue the music.